Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning is the Gospel just read, taken from St. Matthew chapter 22. The scene is set on Monday of Holy Week, just a few days before our Lord's death on the cross and resurrection from the dead for our salvation. The scribes, the lawyers, the Bible scholars of Jesus' day have a plan. They want to trap Jesus in his words. They want to get him to admit something about the law, either that he is wrong or that they don't know it or that he doesn't know it as he should. So they are working to try and lay a trap for him. The trap is a classic. What is the purpose of the law? What's the greatest commandment? Now, in Jesus' day, this was a big controversy on how the good Jew was to understand what is greatest. Loving God? Loving your neighbor? How does it work? Every day, a Jew would get up and he would twice daily repeat these words, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." It's called the Great Shema, the Great Hearing. And so for the Jew, that was their creed. That was really what made them tick. So when they ask him, what is the great commandment? They want to know, is this the great commandment? Is the Ten Commandments something more important? Kind of where does this all fit? Jesus, however, answers very simply, you know the answer. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. This is the point of God's word, Jesus says. Now, for the Jew and for you and I, this presents a bit of a problem. How many of you keep the law perfectly? Good answer. None of us do. None of us give as we ought. None of us love as we ought. None of us fear God as we ought. None of us trust God as we ought. All of us are uncertain of the choices that we make every day. Why? Because we don't trust that when God tells us something in his law, that it's actually for our benefit. We don't trust it. We don't believe it. And so we're constantly trying to hedge around God's law, figure out ways to manipulate God's word, to change his word, to reinterpret it or to tweak it in a way so that I can get what I really want and I don't have to do what God says. So when Jesus answers them with this, you shall love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself, this is as clear and pointed a law as they could ever hear, and as you and I could ever hear. You can almost imagine, kind of in the background, the crowds saying to themselves, well, if that's the point, who then can be saved? Who can do all of that? Who can love God that perfectly? Who can love his neighbor that clearly, that selflessly? Who can do it? The answer, of course, is no one. No one can do that the way that we ought. And so we start to get a hint of what this love means. I can't do it myself. God's love gives to me. My love for others is always tied to God's love. There's no such thing for me as having love for my neighbor apart from God loving me. In other words, we love him because he first loved us. So Jesus takes on our nature. He is David's son and David's Lord. He is both the Son of God and the Son of Man. He is the one who takes on our humanity. Because he takes on our humanity, because he has kind of gathered this into himself, that means that his nature is ours and our nature is his. Where does this happen? Right there at the font. Holy Baptism. God does this great and mighty work, this wonderful exchange where he takes on our nature, our sinfulness, our weakness, our inability to love. He takes all of this into himself and he gives to you his life, his love, his selflessness. I may not feel like it always. I know that. You know that. But it is true because God's word is as true as it says. So Jesus takes this on. He gives us himself in the waters of holy baptism so that when you receive this grace, this love of God, it flows out of you. It flows through you. God's love is always tied to you. So that when you love others, that is God at work. When you receive God's gifts, they flow through you, and they go, and they give and give and give. So this day, as we rejoice in Vincent's baptism at the beginning of new life in Christ, anew for him and for you and I, we pray that God would bless us, that God would give us his Spirit, that he would continue to give to you and me this love which he promises for himself, for you, and for us all. In Jesus' name, amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith to life everlasting. Amen.